Good morning, good morning. How are we doing?
Good.
Well, what an amazing weekend we had last week, and Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday, and the resurrection power of Jesus, and all the good stuff. And today, we're going to continue with our study in James series called Authentic. And I've loved going through this book. I must admit this, what I'm going to preach on today has challenged me. Maybe I shouldn't say this or admit to this, but hey, let's just be open and honest. It's challenged me more than I want to be challenged, because we don't always want to be challenged, right? Okay, that's some of you. The rest of you, you're wondering, what did he just say? But it's great. I love this. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. And we understand, before we read, James was the brother of Jesus, but can you imagine how stubborn, and I think James was qualified to write this book because I think he was probably stubborn and obstinate and had a whole lot of his own ideas and his own behavior, because even his brother Jesus could not convince him till after the resurrection that he was God. Did you get that? Wow. Walked and talked and spent time with Jesus, but he wasn't convinced. And eventually became convinced, gave his life to his brother, actually in a sense to the Father in heaven, and then became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. This is a challenging letter for us to live right and be authentic. And in this section particularly, and I keep saying this, so don't go, gee, the pastor had it in for me today, hey? He pulls no punches. And we started off with reading in the part of beginning. He says, your faith will be tested. Anyone had their faith tested over the last couple of weeks? Okay, a few of you. All right, that's not. The rest of you are just too holy, I guess. He says, stand up under these trials. Be steadfast. Then he goes on and says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. You know, when you have these trials come upon you, you must be a doer of God's word. Don't just talk about it and read about it. He says, then don't allow the sin of partiality to be part of who you are. You are better than that. There we go. One amen. There we go. We're getting there. And then you want to be authentic, you've got to put your faith, Pastor Kevin preached and said, you've got to put your faith into action. And then last time when Pastor Dom preached, he said, it's time for you to learn to bridle your tongue. See, I'm smiling while I'm saying this. And he used the acronym THINK. Think before you speak. Because once those words fall out, you can't get them back in. I have a family who lives in the United States, and my nephew-in-law, if there's such a family member, comes from Louisville. Yeah, I know. You've got to learn to say it. You can't just say Louisville. It's got to go Louisville. It's like, falls out your mouth. And of course, we mock him. The wonderful boy, Noah, he says, no, it's not Louisville, Uncle Mark, it's Louisville. Okay, if you say so, I believe you. And then today I want us to look at part 6, which is wisdom from above. We want to look at wisdom from above, because James has some concerns for these people. And we read, he sees divisions in the church. He says, James 4:1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights amongst you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? He also has this concern about the slander in the church. Bridle your tongue, James 3:9. With it we bless our Lord and Father, as we did amazingly this morning, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. We forget that part. And then he even talks about the leadership, and he says, James 3:1, he says, not many of you should become teachers. Now, you all got an opinion. You all want to be. We're going to talk more about that. And then he says, now this whole thing, the way this thing is going, it involves the whole body in James 3:6. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. Hold the fort, help is coming. James 3, chapter 3. James 3, that will be chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. James, why don't you just tell us how you feel today, bud? For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights amongst you? And he's almost like repeating himself now, but in a different vein. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Keep going, James. James, I'm feeling so good by now. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that has made to dwell in us? Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that we can stand on your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we were able to make much of you this morning, Lord. All glory and honor to your name, Lord. We lift you up, Lord God. You are higher. And Jesus, we ask, Father, as I preach this morning, Holy Spirit, would you anoint me with wisdom from above? We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now I'm going to do a little bit back to front, looking at James 4, 1-5. We have to understand, number one, though, it is good to be passionate. We've a whole bunch of passionate people this morning. And passionate about the King, passionate about good things, passionate about Jesus, passionate about bringing His name, honoring His name. But the problem happens when we are passionate about or pleasures in life are misguided, they will get us into a whole bunch of trouble. Well, I'm doing okay. Yeah, okay. Who wants to be just okay? You want to be okay? I want to be mediocre. I want to be just like every Joe Soap around. No, I want to be passionate for the King. He says your internal war and our togetherness, our external war, when we ask with incorrect motives, will cause problems. Because we know. And I have to, if I'm just being honest, as your pastor, and I'm sure the other pastors are the same, I have to keep reminding myself, this is not because of me. You are all not because of me. Because we believe fervently, Jesus builds his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And when Jesus brings people here, we rejoice. A friend of mine many years in South Africa took over a church, and they grow big churches there. He had a church of about 1,200 when he took it over. And after a number of years, he had a church of over 3,000. And he was like, yeah, I got it. And he felt the Father say to him, my boy, do you have a big church or do you just have a large crowd? Yeah, ouch. And he realized he had a large crowd. I hate the question when I meet with other pastors and they ask me, how big's your church? I'm like, numbers aren't important, but they are. Because if we're plundering hell to populate heaven, as Rounded Monkey puts it, then we're doing a good job. Anyway, I'm going way off track again. The problem is that we need wisdom from above, not driven by our own selfish desires, because the help comes from above. Okay, so let's exegete a little bit. James 3:13 starts off, it says, who is wise and understanding among us, or among you? Wisdom, we have to understand, wisdom is different to intellect or to knowledge. Wisdom is not the same as intellect or knowledge. Because you're a smart person doesn't mean you're wise. Did I say that gently and kindly? Knowledge is in the head, wisdom is in the heart. When we allow the wisdom of the God to touch ours, a wise man will have knowledge. However, a knowledgeable man does not necessarily have wisdom. You need to know that you need knowledge to build a house. Wisdom will help you build a home. They needed knowledge to build the Titanic. They needed wisdom to stay away from the iceberg. You may be knowledgeable about the Word of God, but you will need wisdom to continually walk with God. We had a friend in South Africa who used to carry around in a little pocket, and he always had this. He was very knowledgeable, very smart man. And he used to practice and train himself to quote a scripture, learn a new scripture every day. And he could quote scriptures, man, like, I wish I could be like him. Yet, he didn't walk with God. He did not have the wisdom. Because it was his selfish ambition that helped him each time to tell you how smart he was. Very quiet in here today. Wisdom will take us to a deeper, wider, higher level. Remember, we started off this year with our series on devoted. We want to be devoted, but devoted in wisdom to God, not just to have knowledge. True, authentic wisdom does not equate to being smart. Doesn't matter if you've been to seminary, if you've been to university, if you've got degrees that line up next to your name, that makes no difference. That wisdom doesn't come from it. That's where knowledge comes from. The second thing, 3:13 says, by his good conduct, which means by his good lifestyle, is not enough just to believe. Well, I just believe and that settles it, but I don't need to live it. We also need a lifestyle that reveals an authentic belief in Jesus Christ, an authentic lifestyle that people will look at us and go, there's something different about that person, and we perhaps have not said anything. Sadly, too often stats indicate that bad stuff in society, when comparing the world and the church, there's not much difference. It's a problem. Christians have followed the lie for too long. I got saved. I did it. I said the prayer. You remember what I was saying? Walked the aisle, prayed the prayer, shook the preacher's hand, but never had a change of heart. That is not salvation. That is just acquiescing to some emotional feeling you might have had at the time. Now, if you did it in sincerity of heart, of course. But we need to learn to live out, walk the talk, as we would say. James 3:13 goes on, it says, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Or said another way, let his deeds be done in humility. Look at me, Lord. Look at how good I'm doing. Yeah, no, that's not humility. We have to do things with humility. How can it be a Christ follower? Read the book, sing the songs, praise, do all the thing, attend church, and yet still don't live authentically. It's because we've been sold a bill of goods, because we have no humility in our life. I just want to be clear. Remember, I'm saying we, I'm not saying you, because I'm included in this. Because as I studied and as I prepared the sermon, I had to go, and then I talked to my family, and go, and then talk to my family. We want to be authentically and live in humility and wisdom. Hold the fort, help is on the way. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Now, are you saying we can't be ambitious about anything? No, I'm not saying that at all, and that's not what the scriptures say. There is godly and healthy ambition. We are ambitious for our families. We are ambitious to make a better life for them. We are ambitious for noble causes of all kinds. We should be ambitious for God, not for ourselves, but for God. And that's what I love this morning about raising the name of Jesus, lifting it up. If you're visiting today, we make a whole bunch about Jesus. And if you come back again, you will see we will continue to do that because we love Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. We want to see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Ambition is essential when done well. It's a good thing. Description of ambition is a dogged persistence towards a goal to accomplish something. However, when it is bound up in our hearts in a jealous and bitter way, then it is a bad thing. It wars against our authentic lifestyle. It wars against authentic wisdom. It wars against our good deeds, and it wars against our humility. It says, don't try and bring glory. Don't try and boast. These are the truth, because they are far from the truth. Don't try and fool yourself or ourselves into thinking we're doing good when we're not living authentically. This is just good Bible this morning, church, family. Don't shoot me. Well, if you want, I'm okay. Don't boast about your self-perceived position, because that's not the truth. Verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Man, James, just go for it. You know, as if we haven't been hit enough. It's not wisdom that comes from above. He says, you know, the point he's trying to make, and the number we're going to look at it, is that sometimes we try and philosophize, and we think, oh, just this philosophy about everything. I was good at that. I didn't want to talk about Jesus. I would philosophize about God who is in heaven, who sits there like a puppeteer, pulling the chains of what goes on down here. And that made me feel good. I didn't want to talk about Jesus because I knew about Jesus. It was when I turned my back and walked away. You can talk to me about anything else, but don't bring up Jesus. When we talk about God and religion, of course, we can debate till the cows come home, but don't mention the name Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. 16, for where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Man, the way James puts this, it's not like, well, what does he really mean? What's he trying to say to? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Now, we don't think too much about that verse in the context of us all being here together. Because when we're all together here, we can all behave for an hour or two. And we can smile and be sweet. And I'm talking more about when you go home, husbands and wives. Do you talk to each other at home the same way you talk to each other here? Children, are you obedient to your parents here like you are at home, or at home like you are here? Do you treat your friends and neighbors well? Because where there is jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts, there will be strife. It just like comes together. It's more like what we look at home in the workplace, in school, even at the coffee break afterwards. It's all about our relationship first with Jesus and then with one another. 17 and 18, but the wisdom from above is first pure. Now, I know some translations you have, there's a semicolon, which means pure is on its own, and then we have this little list. Then, peaceably gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom comes from above. First, is pure. It's pure. The wisdom from God is pure. It's not been diluted in any or adulterated in any fashion or form. It comes to us pure. And then follows the list. I mean, if you just go and look at verses 17 and then go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you'll see that it's between James and Paul that we're talking the same language. The unfortunate thing is way too many Christians today still follow ungodly advice. Go for ungodly counsel, unbiblical, which will lead to chaos. People who are not of the Spirit do not understand the things of the Spirit. Well, I went to a guy and I was in trouble with my business, and this guy who's really successful, and he told me, just fudge the books. So I thought, wow, what a cool idea, and then I'll be successful. No, that's a stupid idea. It's not biblical, it's not godly, it's not wisdom from above, it's earthly, worldly wisdom. Won't help you. Ungodly wisdom is earthly wisdom, but godly wisdom comes from above. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. James says that the wisdom has three different facets, and we're going to look at that. Number one, it's worldly. It's worldly wisdom. And the point he's making is when you hang around that kind of stuff all the time, you will become to speak like that and behave like that and think like that. And then in our futility, we will pass the same nonsense on to somebody else because now we think we are so wise. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Is this coming across with love and care? And we're going to blame James. James! The second thing, it's sensual. Now, I know he says it's unspiritual. But the word in the Greek, the unspiritual, not means like, because we know, oh, you're either spiritual or you're unspiritual. And we have our own little way of putting it, but that's not what James is saying. He's saying it's sensual. And the word they use there is psychikos, the sensuous nature, which is subjection to appetite and passion. That's what, passion, sorry. The wisdom of the earth says it feels good. Therefore, it must be okay. That sounds good. That advice sounds good. You know, good philosophy is not always good Bible. Well, some philosopher wrote it, or some really smart guy wrote it. Now, we already figured out smart and intellect and knowledge is not the same as heavenly wisdom. In our opening, James chapter 4, he used the Greek hedone. For pleasures. Go and read it a few times. Use the pleasures. And he used it a couple of times. You know which word we get from hedone? Because if you ever saw the movie, you know that all Greek words have its origin and we get all our words from the Greeks. Right? Some of you are going, what did he just say? We get the word hedonism. We live in an hedonistic society. Well, it just felt good, so I just thought I'd just do it. You can't trust your feelings. You cannot trust your feelings because you feel it doesn't make it right. I'm saying it slowly so we hear it quickly. Since when are your feelings a barometer of truth? Well, I just felt like I should do this, and I just felt like that, and I just felt, and so we just felt. And I think sometimes, I'm going to kill some sacred cows today. I'm standing on some toes, and people are going to get mad with me. I just feel like God is saying this, or I feel... Well, God either said it, or He didn't. I know it's a learned behavior we have in church. So, you know, we all strike the pose. Come on, work with me. We can't trust our feelings. I don't live by my feelings. I live by principles of the truth of the Word of God. I call my soul and my body into alignment with my spirit man, guided by Holy Spirit, not through my soul man, not through my feelings, but because Holy Spirit, who lives in me and guides and leads me into all truth, says so. I don't want to be a soul man. But you can be that too, but when it comes to wisdom, we've got to allow Holy Spirit to work. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who has taken up residence in us and should be the one. When our flesh is screaming out and our soul, you know, your five senses, your soul is screaming out, I feel this way, and the body's going, I feel good. Holy Spirit saying, don't do that, don't go there. We got to subject ourselves to His will. Thirdly, James says it's demonic. Now I know you're going, everyone's demon possessed. No, that's not what he's saying. The better word for us to understand it would be devilish. James calls it devil. The age we live in today is vying for all of our attention with devilish behavior. The earthly wisdom is devilish in that it serves the kingdom of darkness and all that Satan is about. Everyone has to have an opinion about something, everything, even when they're even clueless about the subject. You'll be talking and all of a sudden they'll come in and blah, 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 and you go, if you don't believe me, listen up when people come around you. Pay attention. I mean, again, I just shake my head sometimes. I know it's a morbid fascination with me. I'm going to admit my sins. When I look at Facebook and people write stuff on Facebook and then everybody writes their comments on Facebook, I'm going, were they in the same room as me? What? How did they get that from that? And I know my sermons are the same, and those are the pastors who preach here, their sermons are the same. They preach one sermon, they prepare one sermon, they preach another sermon, you hear one sermon, then you go tell someone else about that sermon, which is the four sermons on a Sunday. Pastor, you preached such an amazing word on the devil today. What? I think I mentioned that once. How did they get that? I have no idea. Otherwise, everyone else is offended. Well, you can't say that. It offends me. I'm so politically correct that if I look at someone, I'm going to be offended. It's devilish. Stop it. Thank you. I'm trying. We're offended by what we do, what we don't say, or what we should have said, or how we should have said it. If you breathe too long or too hard, and if you don't respond immediately, I'm just offended. The largest growing church in North America is the Church of the Offended. Man, I would wonder what the economy of this country would be like if everybody who got offended and left the church got offended at work and left their work. Or got offended at the sports team. Well, I'm just not going back to play anymore. Devilish is envious and self-seeking. It's arrogant, always boasting and lying about the truth. It ascends to earth from the flesh, originating in the demonic realm. It loves disorder and confusion, division and strife. It's the source of every foul motive and deed imaginable. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Help is on its way. Wisdom from above. Sheesh. You're really getting to me there. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Number one, wisdom responds from a godly principles. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure. That word is hagnos, pure in reverence, clean. It's full of integrity and wholesomeness. Proverbs 10:9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Well, I've got secrets that no one knows. Shall I tell you what? You do not have a secret. Because God knows. That should scare us all into... It's pure and wholesome. The second thing that wisdom from above is, it responds with godly motives. James first says it's pure, then he gives us this list, and he lists call this to a devoted new life, a Christ-life life of maturity, and actually, if I could say, time to grow up. Time to put your big boy pants on. Time to put your big girl pants on. Done with living this unauthentic life. I want to live an authentic life for Christ. I want to be a Christ follower. It goes against the natural or the earthly or the worldly, sensual and devilish man to an authentic life, not at odds with others. Stop yelling and arguing. Stop being or looking and behaving like those who never even met Jesus. We come to church and we, as I said, we can all assume the position and we can shunda bunda bande any day on a Sunday but not on a Monday. And we can do all of that stuff. But it's what happens between Monday and next Sunday that counts. Philippians 2:1. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What I so love about these scriptures and the Word is James is probably the first book that was ever penned. But they didn't have the book of James to go and compare notes. Now we have Paul, the great apostle, writing the same stuff to the same churches. Saying the same Holy Spirit given instruction to help them to grow into authentic Christ-like followers. And when you can read it through all of the Gospels, you can read it through all of the letters, the apostolic letters. When we get to respond with godly motive, is that when we, in verse 17, you know, it says, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. That all broken down means that we are meant to be peace-loving. Stop being the person who sets the family off. I know my family are looking at me. I love to tease. But you know, I could have actually go, yeah, no, I can't say that in church. But I want to be authentic. I want to be honest with you. I've got to stop being the person that sets our family off. You're the pastor. You're so perfect. No. Be considerate. Thank you, Libby. Be considerate. You know where the word comes from that? Consider. Consider others, i.e. every person in this room. Consider one another. And you go, they came to church and they had such a long face and they didn't even greet me when I greeted them. And then I saw them, they weren't even in there. I mean, let me tell you something. There are people in this body, people sitting here today, who are fighting battles, some big, some huge, that you have nothing, no knowledge about whatsoever. Be considerate and kind to one another. Be submissive. Be willing to yield. Don't be difficult to approach. Even in your times of difficulty. Be full of mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Love holds no records of wrongs. Now, they didn't greet me last week, so I'm not greeting them this week. And they just poured coffee and they took a long time putting the milk in. I'm offended. I know you're laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. Yeah, the one who shouts the loudest. Be impartial and sincere. Be authentic. Be real. We are all on the same journey trying to figure it out. You've heard the expression, well, if you go to church, you'll find all the hypocrites there. You've heard that. Do you know where the word comes from? In the old time, the Greeks, Hippocrate, they weren't enough actors, so they would play. One actor would play many roles. But what they would do is they put a different mask on. And so then they would say, oh, he's the hypocrite, because he's playing three. He's not real. There's nothing real. It's not like he has an authentic part to play. He's the good dad, she's the bad mom, he's the snotty kid. But he's all three. That's where the word comes from. Don't be like that. Be authentic. Be the only one God made you to be. Don't try and be somebody else. Number three, we're nearly done. Wisdom from above responds to serving godly purposes. James 3:18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'm not talking about being a peacekeeper. Peacekeepers are unhelpful. You've got to be a peacemaker. Peacemakers are the ones who uncover the dark and reveal the light. Don't become the church police now and think I'm going to do... That's not what I'm saying. As authentic Christ followers, we're gaining wisdom from above. This is our job, to be the salt and light, to reveal His kingdom. Responding to godly principles plus responding to godly motive equals responding to godly purposes. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works. Remember we read good works? We read it in chapter 3. And give glory to your Father also is in heaven. Now, by now you're saying, well, Mark, that's a whole lot of information. How do we get this wisdom from above? I'm so glad you asked. We started off in our first sermon on the series with it. When we're under attack, remember, we've got to stand steadfast. We've got to stand firm. It says that if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask God. Ask your mates. Don't ask the pastor. Ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Psalm 110:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is authentic, reverent fear of our Heavenly Father. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praises endures forever. How do we do this? Get close to God. Spend time with God. Do I need more theology? No, that's intellect and knowledge. You need wisdom from above. You need to spend time in His presence. Theology is good to understand the theology, but you want to get into His presence. Get close to God. Spend time with Him. Knowledge looks around. Wisdom looks up. Spend more time with God. Get in His presence. Thank you for indulging me for an extra couple of minutes this morning. Let's just stand together, please. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we just again submit ourselves to you. Holy Father, Jesus, we love you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and infuse us once again. God, I ask again more wisdom from above, Lord. Your word has promised to give it generously. God, we just stand before you this morning, Lord God, and we want to be authentic, Lord. Father, we don't want to just believe, but we want to believe and be doers of your word. We love you, Jesus. Father, we pray for those that are battling different issues today, and God, we ask for wisdom from above for them. We ask, Lord God, that we would be sober-minded, that we would consider others before ourselves. Lord, we just again come and we ask for your mercy once again, Lord. You are mighty God. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? We ask, Lord, that you would invade us, speak into our lives, Lord. Let our body and soul be subjective to our spirit man. You are awesome, Lord God. We bless you this morning, Lord God. Let your face shine upon us, Lord. Let your radiance glory be our portion. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.